morning, my brothers and sisters around the world. I'd like to welcome you to Runner for Christ Ministries Sunday School. And we have been in Ephesians chapter 2. And I believe we're going to pick up at verse 8 this morning. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the opportunity and the privilege and the honor that we have because of you. We thank you for what our big brother Jesus did on the cross for us and over the grave. And we thank you for your very presence in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this word, Lord. We pray that we will take this word and spread it all over the world as we expand your kingdom. We say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So, verses 8 and 9 were actually two of the first verses that I memorized and learned as a kid once I got saved in Sunday school at River Rouge Bible Assembly. And those are verses that have stuck with me to this day. And basically, it's letting us know that it's because of grace we have been saved through faith. And this is not of us, not from ourselves. Because Lord knows how we are as humans. We will pump ourselves up to try to be like God, you know. And, you know, we should understand that, you know, Lucifer tried that in heaven and it didn't work so well. You know, the reality is we can't pump ourselves up. All of our inspiration and motivation and encouragement needs to be seated and rooted in the Lord. So it's not of ourselves, but it's because of grace through faith that we are saved. And then verse 9 says, not by works, so that no one can boast. You know, sometimes, and I've done it, and I think we've all been guilty of it, where we do something or we put something together or we finish a project or we earn a good grade and we quickly pump ourselves up and say, yeah, I did that, I did that, you know. And I, like I said, I've done it, you know. It could be something as simple as ironing a shirt, and it turns out to be crispy. And you're like, yeah, I did that. I put that thing together. Well, we have to realize that it's not by our works that we are saved, so that we can't boast. We can't pump ourselves up. We're saved because of God's grace and Jesus going to the cross in our place. And I'm going to continue to say this over and over again, because I think so many times we've watered down the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Because God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got together before any of us were formed, because they knew we would fall into sin because of what happened in the garden, they gave us an escape plan from hell that we need to be grateful for that daily, because it's nothing that we did. It's because our father, our elder brother, and our counselor slash comforter got together to give us an escape plan from hell. Now, if we are in them and they're in us as family, it's our job to run the family business while we're here on earth, which is expanding God's kingdom and pushing forward his agenda and not that of the world. Amen. Amen. Verse 10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Always, you know, especially throughout Ephesians, go back to the beginning where it says that he ordained us before the creation of the world. So if he set us aside before the foundations of the world, before the creation of the world, then verse 10 would make sense because we are his workmanship. He created us. He always had us in mind. So you weren't a mistake. You know, I had a conversation with a teenager, and he said his mother told him that he was a mistake. He wasn't supposed to be around. And I told him, you have a purpose in this life. And right here, if we read verse 10 again, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We all have a purpose. We all have a job to do. In advance, good works, because we were created in Christ Jesus. So you always have something to do for the Lord. I don't know why people think, you know, as long as they get to church and they sit on the pew and chew and that's all they do. I got that from Pastor O. That's all they need, that needs to be done. No. God has phenomenal, awesome things prepared for us in advance to do. So that's one of the main reasons, not just because of who God is, but you want to know what God wants you to do for today. And if I had to give out a homework assignment, I would just simply say, ask God what he wants you to do today and go from there. Take it a day at a time. Now, some of us who are preachers and teachers and all of that, you know, he's made some stuff plain to us, but that's strictly because we've had to get in his face and we've had to get in his word, you know, just relate and commune with God. It says here, he prepared it in advance for us to do. So your assignment has been created before you were even thought of by your parents. So let's keep that in mind as we move forward through Ephesians and throughout each and every day. Verse 11 says, therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So back in the day, Gentiles basically are people who are not Jewish or of Jewish descent. So remember, circumcision is something that's done by the hands of men, as stated here. It was more of a religious action versus something that had to do with the faith or, you know, that you had in God. So what happens is people use that as a barrier to say, you know, you're not, you know, chosen by God, you're not of God's, you know, you're not God's children or anything like that. But the Jews who practiced circumcision, their thing was, you know, it was a religious thing that they did, like a tradition. So they used that to separate themselves from people who weren't Jewish or who didn't have their beliefs or their faith. So Gentiles were basically everyone else outside of the Jews. So technically, for me, I would be considered a Gentile because I'm not of Jewish descent. So right here, you know, their whole thing was, you know, gloom and doom for anyone who wasn't Jewish. But let's read verse 13. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, who you were once far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. So Paul was explaining that regardless of your circumcision status, the blood of Jesus brought everyone in, because regardless of what you believe in terms of religious activities, the basic bottom line is the gospel is the good news that Jesus lived, he died, and he rose from the grave to pay for all of your sins. That no matter what you believe religiously, because you can religiously rob banks. I tell people that all the time when they get off into religion. It's about faith. It's about what you believe and what you act upon based upon what's in your heart and in your spirit. But we've been brought near to God because of the blood of Jesus. So regardless of the religious part, because, you know, I've had debates, and I've been guilty of it, of people of different denominations, and they have different beliefs. They, you know, folks have different views of the Bible and what certain verses say, because a lot of times, I learned this from my brother, Alan Parr, guy I follow online, who was actually a student of Tony Evans, but he has his own, web show on YouTube. And he says a lot of times that people get scripture wrong is because they don't understand the context of it. They just read it and take it for face value, but Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved. So you have to dig deeper into meanings. I still myself will look up that I don't know or explore things, you know, look at reference guides and books on things that I don't know or may not understand. But the reality is that when you gain the proper context of certain verses, it will further explain what the writer at that time meant. So a lot of times we have these barriers because of people taking the word out of context or going off of traditions or religious activities. And we need to understand that we're united because of what the Lord did at the cross and over the grave. Amen. Amen. Verse 14 says, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. So the Lord does not care about denominations. He does not care about divisions. He does not care about things that keep us divided, because he came to unite. He came to destroy the things of past where there were religious rites of passage, and there were traditions, and there were things that kept us divided. Because the reality is that he came to unite us, to make the two one. And we need to understand that, because we sometimes we get so fired up and so in our feelings when someone says something we don't like or agree with versus taking the time to find out where are they coming from with it. Because a lot of times it's just listening, which is why he gave us two ears and one mouth, so that you gain more information than you put out with your mouth. But even if he has you in a position where you have to take things in, you have to first do that before you just kind of go off on people. It's not the Lord's. The Lord didn't come to make you the person to get people told. If you're his son, you're his daughter, he wants you to be about what Jesus was about, uniting folks and keeping the main thing, which is the gospel. And if you care about how people study the word, you study the word and you share it with others. Amen? Amen. And verse 16 says, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Again, we don't go to hell now for those of us who believe because of what Jesus did. And I like how Paul explains it here that reconciled us both to God through the cross, and he put to death the hostility, and he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both, Jews and Gentiles, have access to the Father by one Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, God's very presence inside of you. So once you get saved, he sets a shop right inside of you. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that my elder brother paved the way for John to have access to the Father because of what was done in the garden, and how he reconciled us and how he unifies us. We don't have to agree. We can agree to disagree, but we need to show love and unity just as Christ did, because that was his purpose, for reconciling, unifying the family, for us to come to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So we're no longer foreigners or aliens. We are God's children, period. We are members of God's household. That's why we can go boldly to the throne of grace and talk to our Father. And that's why Jesus is constantly interceding for us. And that's why the Holy Spirit is constantly translating our prayers, because we have 24/7 unlimited access to the Father because of what Jesus did for us. And we need to not forever forget that. Don't let you get in the way of you and the unity that the Lord has come to provide. He's done his part, but we have to do ours. Amen? Amen. And I like what it says, built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. What an awesome situation that we have with our elder brother being the chief cornerstone, and how he constantly brings in new family members, whether they're Jews or Gentiles, to unify, to become a holy temple in the Lord. And that in him, you too, take it personal, are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. I'm so thankful for God's presence in my life, and I'm so thankful that I have eternity with the Lord. So we shouldn't be divided about anything. What the word says about something is true. If you have a discussion with someone or a debate, you show them in the word. But for you to show them in the word, you have to be in the word. You have to read that thing. You have to talk to the Lord. Now, he's made every provision for unity in this world. All we have to do is accept it and walk in it, especially as his children, first and foremost, because we have to be the example and we have to lead by that example. And Jesus provided an awesome example for us. So let us meditate on chapter 2 and chapter 1 of Ephesians as we move to chapter 3 starting next week. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for making it plain to us. We thank you for breaking that thing down. But help us to keep it simple. Help us to unify and love on each other. Spread your word throughout this world so that others may be saved before it's too late. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher Jonathan, for that message. I like what you said about uniting people, and that's what Jesus is all about. And that's what we should be about. And he has done his part, so now we have to do our part. And just, you know, that was good. We enjoyed that message, and we cannot wait until next week. I'm busy this morning. I'm out here with the Carmanos group doing a walk-a-thon with my niece that's been 1 year cancer-free. So I'm kind of double-triple duty in this morning, you know. So, yeah. So that was a good message. And did you pray already?
I sure did.
Okay, good. Hallelujah. Okay, well, we're going to go and have a song. And then on that next side, other side of that song, we are going to start our service.
Thank you, Jonathan.
We appreciate you.
Appreciate have the best you. Enjoy ever. That walk.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks.
All right.
Doing our part.
Absolutely.
Take it away, Pastor. Yep, doing our part out here.
Gonna know.
by God's grace, no weapon formed. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world, to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital, and the Word of God tells us so, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And so, we have this morning to help us do so is our very own brother, Deacon Eric Reed. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and good morning to everyone else that's listening. We're going to go on and get started so we can keep on with our service. This morning, we're going to read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 15, and it reads as follows. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world. But now it is time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Excuse me. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. At this time, we're going to give thanks to the Lord, and we're going to do a short prayer. And Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for the opportunity once again to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in the worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with the word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in the songs, prayers, and priest's word so that all those who are lost will be found. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Harris. We appreciate you.
And I thank you for allowing me to be here. Peace and love to you all.
Okay. Good. Have a great day.
Yes,
all
ma'am.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Yep. Yep. Now you trying to do me a favor. Everybody. Everybody clap your hands right here. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Here we go. I got power over everything. I keep stressed from
real deal.
It's a big
thing.
And we already won.
Revelation is already written. 21-22.
We already won.
It's a big fight. Somebody needs to know that. It's a big fight. Say it. Yeah, the devil don't like it when you already won. He don't like it when we know that. Amen. It's one thing to say that, but it's a whole nother thing to know that we already won. You know, I got that when I read Revelation chapter 4, and I found out that the 24 elders was Christians, amen, who had believed in Jesus. And guess where they were? Around God's throne. I say, Jesus. He said, what? I said, if you see me right there, then this mess I'm in right here, I've already won. Lord have mercy. That made life a whole lot different for me. You know what? A lot of us don't believe it, but he's a miracle worker. I guarantee you to get a problem and not trip. That ain't easy, but don't trip. And watch Jesus do miracles. He's still doing miracles today. Amen? He did them in the Bible, and he told us he did them, even in the Quran. Guess what? It's 25 of the miracles of Jesus in there, and one being his virgin birth. I'm just trying to tell y'all, if you're looking for a miracle, the world don't have them. They can't do them. But Jesus, he's a miracle worker.
Somebody lift your worship all over this room.
don't mind if you sing with them. Just because we're here on Blog Talk Radio don't mean you can't sing with the choir. Amen. Don't let the devil be scared that you believe in Jesus.
You're the
spiritual
said,
will know that you know who you are. Somebody out there walking with Deaconess Kathy Clyburn this morning, and they know about that miracle working power. They know about them signs and wonders. And it's a lot of folk out there walking that's walking toward their healing, walking toward their deliverance, walking toward their testimony. Amen. That's some awesome stuff right there. You know, grace is awesome. We heard Pastor Jonathan Tate talking about grace this morning. Grace is awesome. Grace is God's unmerited favor, showing us favor even though we don't merit it. Amen. And grace also is the power for us to do what the Lord have called us to do, to live the life that God has called us to live, to make the advances that God has called us to make. Grace. Grace keeps us from looking like what we've been through.
If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. Fellowship, let's go.
My testimony is real. I came this far by faith. My road ain't always been smooth, but it don't look like everything I've been through. The truth is I'm kept.
Time.
good. I want you to know wherever you need God's grace, it's always sufficient, on time, and exactly what you need.
Grace, how sweet. Once again, Pastor, you took us there, and we just thank you. Thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged, which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own Sister Deaconess June Rogers, offering prayer and petitioning to God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Sister Deaconess June Rogers' pray to the Lord. Amen.
Right now in your name, something has to break. Amen. Amen. I am going to assume that my mic is open. I'm out here with Kathy this morning at this Breast Cancer Awareness March.
Amen.
Amen. This is a little different for me. I just want to let you all know I'm in a little room where you can get on the elevator. So I'm hoping that there'll be not as much interference noise, but if I see that there is, I might move around. But hopefully everyone will be able to hear me throughout this prayer. And, yeah, Pastor, I'm stepping out on faith because, you know, normally when I say a prayer, I say the prayer in a way where I have a whole lot of notes in front of me. And I believe that the Lord must want me to say the prayer this morning this way. And so here I am. I wish I had listened to the Holy Spirit, though, that told me to bring my headset. And I kept struggling with them and convincing myself I didn't need it. And here we are. Okay. So welcome once again, all Block Talk listeners all across the land. And we are so glad that you joined us this morning. And now is the time that we are going to go collectively to our Father in heaven in prayer. And I know that you believe that God can do all things. And so as you're collecting your thoughts for what you want to put on the altar individually, let us go before the throne in prayer together. Lord God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity. Help us to always remember that this is an opportunity to be able to come before you collectively in prayer. You are awesome, God. You sit high and you look low. You created everything that we can see around us right now, things that are seen and unseen. You are all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere, all at once. There is no other entity as powerful as you are in this universe, and we thank you so much that you made us, that you're listening to us now, and that there isn't anything that we can ask you to do that you can't do. So we just thank you for that, Father. We also come to you this morning with hearts, Lord, aware that we are a long way away from perfect, that we constantly do things to aggravate you, things that we know that we should not do because your word has told us not to do them. And yet, day after day, we do things to offend you. Some of those things we are very much aware of, and some of them, Lord, we're not aware of. But we ask for forgiveness. We ask for forgiveness for any single thing that we may be holding on in our hearts, unforgiveness that would cause us to hinder this prayer that we're about to bring before you, Lord. We don't want anything to hinder our prayers. And so we just lay it at your feet right now. We just lay it at your altar, anything that we may have done, especially unforgiveness, Lord, because we want you to forgive us. And you made it clear to us that if we want you to forgive us, then we have to forgive each other. And when we don't forgive each other, Lord, really what we're doing is we're just poisoning our hearts and we're poisoning our minds because we're not able to even think clearly, conjuring up all kinds of evil that we act out against our brother and our sister. You didn't make us that way, Father. You said in your word, Jesus, when you were here, you said that you wanted us, that is your followers, to be as one, even as you are one with the Father. Lord, if we could just get it into our spirits and hearts, what we could do, as Jonathan brought up the subject of unity this morning, as Kathy brought up the subject as well, we're out here at a march, at a cancer awareness march. We have an illness that is plaguing many women and even some men, an illness that's horrible. We know you hate illness. When you walk this earth, Jesus, you were constantly walking by people, and it hurt your heart to see them suffering. And many of the miracles that you performed involved illness. Think about that for a minute. Many of these people that are here are survivors, meaning they went through it. Some of them are going through it now, and there are many more that are not out here right now who we are hoping will get cured. They have pain. excruciating pain. They have loved ones who are watching them go through the pain. They have hope that they're going to get better. Many of them have not gotten better. There are many who have died from this disease. Lord, you have given us so many gifts individually. But because we're not unified, we've got a group of scientists over here in this corner. We got another group of scientists in another corner, not in unity, not on one accord. And instead of coming together and saying, just like we did with the coronavirus, if we could come up with a vaccine in months, if we could prepare things to the point where all we have to do is say, what is this new novel disease that we are facing? And all we got to do is just add a few extra things to it and be ready to give a vaccine to people in the matter of weeks, the ones that we're testing on. If we could do that, surely we could find a cure for this cancer. So, Lord, I just ask that you would just wake up whoever it is that you've given that gift to be able to have the answer for a cure for not just this disease, but many diseases. We'd like to think that this comes from us, but it doesn't. These modern-day miracles where people are able to be cured from diseases, they're able to do that because you have put in their mind the answer. And that's what we need to do. You said if any man lacks wisdom, to come to you, Lord. Anything that we lack wisdom on, whether it is an illness, whether it's how do we bring this crime rate down, whether it's politics. And of course, the answer is love and unity. Of course, that's the answer. So collectively, we have to just buy into your word. Your word is true. It's easy. This is not hard. And we ask for forgiveness, Lord, for every time. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. I'll sit there, and I'll try to figure something out. And I'll go all around the barn, and then finally I stop, and I find a quiet place, and I talk to you, and I say, Lord, what should I do? And the answer would stare me in the face all along, a scripture that I've read, a still small voice by way of the Holy Spirit that you've already imparted in me. So forgive us for just doing what we say to each other all the time. All I can do is pray. All I can do is talk to God. And when we say that, that's like discounting you, God. Why do we do that? Forgive us for discounting you, because we should not make you our last resort after we have tried everything we can think of in our human mind to do. Then we look to you. Help us, Father, to see that you should be our first resort, not our last resort. Oh, all of the heartbreak, all of the misery we cause ourselves, all of the poor decisions that we make, and it's all because, as the psalmist says, that we don't take it to you in prayer. Father, we pray for our leaders this morning. What a mess we're in. The United States of America was almost on the brink of economic ruin, not because of anything outside, what our Congress was about to do, because of the division. I don't like this one. I don't like that one. I'm not going to help this one. I'm not going to help that one. And just because of division, they were about to let us default, and that was going to put us in ruin. Father, please forgive us, for it's not just them. They're elected by us. The reasons why they're doing those things is because they feel like they have the backing of us. We're divided as a nation. Please help us. Help us, help us to see, especially those of us who call ourselves Christians, Lord. Those of us who call ourselves Christians, get up in the morning on a Sunday and go to church. They say it's the most divided hour, especially along racial lines. And we can see upon racial lines that there are some Christians of one color who back one candidate and Christians of another color that back another candidate. Lord, help us to see that this is not how you want us to operate. You want us to select leaders who are doing right, who are walking as much as possible according to your word. No, government is not religion. It's not the same thing. But we do know the difference between right and wrong because you teach us that in your word. So help us, Lord. Those of us who call ourselves your children, help us to stop being so selfish. We select this person because, well, I make so much money, and because I make this amount of money, that means I got to follow this particular candidate because they're going to hook me up. But, Lord, that's not what you told us to do. You told us that we should be concerned about our brothers and our sisters. That's what you told us to do, that we should not be so selfish, that we should look. So even if we make a decision when we cast our vote and it's not in our own personal best interest, we should be asking ourselves what is right for the most of us, for our brothers and sisters. So we just help us, Lord, to just get back to basics. Love and unity. Love and unity is what we need to do. Lord, this morning, we are putting our ability to love and to get on one accord on the altar. Anything that interferes with that, let us examine ourselves. Let us think about what it is that we're doing that's contributing to the problems that we're seeing. Because you've given us all the answers that we need, and we thank you for that. We thank you for that, Lord. And Father, you know I could go on and on, but I believe that what you put in my heart a few minutes before I knew that I was going to lead this prayer were those two concepts, the importance of us loving one another, even as you loved us. Jesus, you laid your life down for us. We say we want to be like you, but we don't act like it. You said, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you won't do what I say. So, yeah, we get it. Anybody walks up, we can rattle it off. God is love. That's what we're supposed to be about. But do we do it? Are we doers of your word? So that's what we ask for this morning, that you would help us. Help us to not focus on what our fellow man thinks about us, but what you think about us. Help us to remember why we are here, Lord. You are just so wonderful, and you are so awesome, and you are so loving. There isn't a single thing that we need to met, a need that you haven't met, not one single one. And we thank you for it, and we love you. And now just help us, Lord, to be that which you would have us to be. You say you know the plans that you have for us, to prosper us, to give us a future, a hope. So everything, you're good. Good all the time, and you want only the good for us, so we just thank you for that. Lord, we also recognize that there are people who are tuning in right now live, and there will be some that will tune in later on in the future and even some into the distant future, Lord. And we ask that you would give them a word for them in their time. Lord, you know. We don't know. I'm out here walking on the outskirts of this march so that I can lead this prayer. So I don't know. I don't know who's listening. I can't see the switchboard, but you can. And it just comes to my mind that a couple Mondays ago, we had a class that was going, and a person who was listening in to the conversation that we were having about how important it is to accept your will, that when our loved ones depart this earth, that it is hard for us to think about how much we're going to miss us. But we've got to get to the point that we accept that you are God, that we are not, and that you can do what you do. And we may not know all of, you know, all that's involved in the good because it feels so bad, but that you know. One of the people listening into that was my husband's first cousin, who he was very close to. And she sent me a text message, and she commented on the last song that was played, "Thy Will Be Done." And then by that following Monday, matter of fact, that following Monday, she passed away unexpectedly. Lord, I thank you for the peace that you've given me and you've given my husband and her family, and knowing that just as she heard, just as your word is true, to be absent from the body is to be present with you. And may we all remember that. Regardless of when you're listening to this, just know that God is there for you and that his word, if you're listening to this 2,000 years into the future. He's the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And, of course, if you're listening during that time, all of us who are participating in this will be home with the Lord. But he's always with you. Lord, I thank you for always, 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 always being with us. So to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb, power, glory, and honor, now and forever. And we pray all of this in the precious name, Jesus Christ. That name one day that every tongue will confess as Lord and that every knee will bow to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon and June, for praying and making our request known to God. We just thank you. Okay. It's just a beautiful day today. And we're walking in unity with the Carmanos Cancer Foundation. And I just want to lift up my niece, Angelita Cox, and we just continue to wish her well. Okay? And so far, we're having a great time this morning. And I am truly enjoying the service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And just thank you for being with us all over this beautiful world. And as always, and if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, it's time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is man of God, Elder Joseph Stevens. Prepare to receive Brother Elder Joseph Stevens as he come in his own way with the word from the Lord. Amen.
The outpouring of your spirit till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord. Right now, build me up again. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord. Right now.
I need you, Lord, right now. Good morning, Running for Christ Ministries. Good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, and all the Running for Christ Ministry family and the Radio Blog Talk family. Father God, we just thank you again for another opportunity to preach your word. Father God, continue to strengthen us. Father God, continue to lead and guide us in your word through your Holy Spirit. Father God, we just bless and praise your holy name. May the words of my heart and may the words of my heart bring glory to your name, Lord. May the words that I say today challenge each one of us to have a deeper relationship with you. Father God, may the words that I say have us open to being filled again, again, and again. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Father God, oh man, I just kind of got lost in some of the songs this morning. And I know why he didn't make me a singer, because I just heard those songs, and some of them I can't remember the names of them. I'll remember words here and there, but the Holy Spirit will bring them back to remembrance when the time is right. You know, the song says, fill me up again. Fill me up again. I want you all to think about that as I'm going through this message this morning. Fill me up again. And as we intercede on behalf of others, fill us up again and again and again. You know, a few weeks ago, my grandson Solomon and I was at Dingle Park at the corner of Southfield and Jefferson. And we walked over to the guard, the fence that keeps you from going over into the water at the Detroit River. And he asked me, how deep is the Detroit River? How deep is the river? Told him I did not know, but it was very deep. And not only that it was deep, it had very large undercurrents that just can take you away if you're out there, even if you're a good swimmer. Many people have died in the Detroit River, not because they couldn't swim, but because they got caught up in undercurrents and swept away. You can be at the Belle Isle Bridge, and they find you way down in Grosse Ile somewhere, or past that when the undercurrent continues to just take somebody away. So, you know, I enjoy looking at the Detroit River. I look at it from various parts, Belle Isle, Bishop, Dingle, Elizabeth, at different times. And I enjoy just sitting looking at the river, the big ships, the little boats, the fast boats, and others out there on water jet skis and all that different stuff going up and down the water. And it amazes me, even in the wintertime, how the birds and those seagulls and the other ones can be out there in that cold, cold river. And they survive. They move from the water or from ice back to the land and do what they need to do, where we couldn't be in that water a few minutes. I've been in lakes, the Detroit River. I even been in the ocean before on various different beaches. I've seen water for miles and miles. See, any land could even fathom where the water began and ended. Look at our God. I've been in waves that came to the sea, to the shore, to water, inside, into the water, where water was on my feet, at my knees, at my chest, and then above my head. And when the water was too deep, you swim. But some people even venture out further and further into the deep. But when it gets too deep for me, I need a large boat or to be parked in my car looking at that water, looking at it flow, looking at boats going down the water smoothly, or even boats that are bouncing up and down because the water's a little rough that day. The water is refreshing, relaxing, and the glory of God when I sit at the water. I don't fish, but I love to sit at the water. And in the park, you got the trees, you got the green grass, you got the water. And where I'm at right now, I can see across into Grove Field where these people got these expensive boats. Some might be considered yachts. And these very expensive homes on Grove Field. I can even remember spending hours sitting and praying for purpose and direction, reading and studying the scripture. I remember sitting at the Detroit River many different times working on my trial sermon years ago. These radio blogs. In fact, I'm sitting in Elizabeth Park right now. And you know, we got a lot of cliches in this Christian walk. We often talk about being deep in God. I want to be deep in God. Or I'm going deeper in the Lord. Or I'm going to another level. I need more of God. Could we really take more of God? I don't think we need more of God. I believe that God needs more of us. Is it really about being deep in God or going deeper with God? Or is it about being faithful to what God has for us to do and be? I looked up the word deeper and deep in the Strong's Concordance. Deeper, almake. It means deep, literally or figuratively. It means deeper, depth, and strange. Only two scriptures came up when I looked up those scriptures in the Old Testament. And those two scriptures was Job 11:8 and Leviticus 14:37. Strange was one definition. Deeper and depth was the other. Job 11:7-8 says, can you fathom the mysteries of God? Because they're deep. I'm adding the word deep. Can you probe the limits of the Almighty? Because he's deep. There are higher than the heavens. What can you do? They are deeper than the depths of the grave. What can you know? Now, I did not say try to be deep in what we say, or just being deep in our own self or our own flesh. I was looking for different shows on YouTube one day, and the word deep has still been ringing in my heart and mind. And I saw this title saying, Dangerous Ship Launches Gone Wrong. 15 ship launches that went horribly wrong. And it made me think, they launched those big ships that we see going down the Detroit River, carrying goods from one country to another, or carrying goods from one state to another. Those big ships that we see, they launch them into the deep. But you know, the best laid plans of man can go wrong are nothing like your thoughts. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. That's what God's word says. There's a way that seems right that leads unto death. A way that seems right to man, but it leads unto death. So what does it mean going or being deeper in God? What do we really mean when we say that? Pastor Gerald can correct me later if I'm wrong. I don't remember any scriptures where God told us to be deep in him. But he has told us to be faithful and to trust him, to put our hope in him, to rely on him, to depend on him. So does being deeper in God, does it mean to be more spiritual? Does it mean to be holy? Does it mean to be more obedient to our Lord and Savior? I believe it means all of the above. To be holy, faithful, obedient, and to be led by the Holy Spirit. That's what I believe. So how do we become deep in God? Ultimately, it comes in our relationship with him and the faith that we have and show and continue to depend and walk in, trusting him to lead and guide us. One of the songs, I can't remember the exact title of the song, but when I first got on, it was saying something about, it's already done. We've won. It's already done. But it doesn't always seem that way in our lives. God said, be holy as I am holy. That's what he said. He ain't said be deep. He said be holy. We come up with all these other words. He said, be holy as I am holy. And you know, the word deep in the New Testament was in the Bible 65 times in the King James in 63 different verses. And then I looked at it in the New International Version, and it said the word deep came up 105 times in 103 different verses. And the word is bathos, profundity, extent, mystery, deep, deepness, depth. When I thought about the word deep, one continued to think about the word deep. One thing came to mind when Jesus told Peter to launch out into the deep. Luke 5:4 says, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the net for a catch. NIV. My subject today, launch out into the deep. Probably heard this story before, this scripture. Who was the he? And who was he speaking to? He was Jesus. And you have to go back in the fourth chapter to find out who he was speaking to. But I want you to think today, how deep is your walk with God? Is it so deep that it cannot be measured? Like when I look at the Detroit River and see the water, but have no idea of how deep it is from the time you get in the water over here at Elizabeth Park and over to Gross Hill. Don't know how deep, but I know one thing, it's too deep for me to walk on. But how deep is your walk with God? Luke 4:14 says, and Jesus returned in the power of his Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. King James. Filled with the Holy Spirit's power, it says in the New Living, in the power of the Spirit in the NIV, powerful in the Spirit in the Message. We know that John had baptized Jesus, the Holy Spirit. It came in the form of a dove and landed on him. And God the Father spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately after that, the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. Why would God lead Jesus into the wilderness? Jesus came to defeat sin and open the way for us back to him. Jesus fasted 40 days and nights. Satan tempted him three different times. Command these stones to be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Then he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. All these things I will give you. Fall down and worship me. And that's the one that always has really gotten me. It's one thing to tell him to command some stones to be made bread after he has been fasting for 40 days. Because, you know, we don't fast nowhere close to 40 days, and we be a hunger, as the word would say. We be thirsty. We be hungry. We be ready to eat. Then he says, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. If, he already knew he was the Son of God. But sometimes Satan often comes to us and says, if you are a Christian, do this or do that. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't have done this or that. That's not what God's word says. We've already won. Spiritually, we've already won. We just got to continue to conquer this flesh on a daily basis. Then he showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Now, don't it say in John, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God? And yet everything that was made by him, and nothing that was made was not made other than with Jesus. So he shows him everything that he already created and wanted him to fall down and worship him. Now, Jesus, filled with the Spirit, answered with the Word of God. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceedeth, that comes out of the mouth of God. In another word, in other words, Satan always comes to deceive. He comes with deception, and he lies, and he comes to deceive us. But Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Now, when Jesus said that, Satan couldn't do nothing else but leave. Because Jesus knew Satan had been thrown out of heaven for trying to be God and seeking for others to worship him as God. And Jesus knew when he told him that you should worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan had to get out of town. Luke 4:18-19 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. 19, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. All that Jesus said and taught in the synagogues was true. But you know, there's always somebody there wanting to say what you said wasn't true, what you're doing is not right. And they wanted attempted to throw him out of the synagogue. But Jesus was able to pass through them, pass by them, and they wasn't able to do nothing to God. And I think it says in one verse, Jesus passed through the midst of them. And many times they wanted to try to do harm to Jesus, but it wasn't the time. And God did not allow them to touch him, to harm him, or do anything. But Jesus didn't stop. He went on to Capernaum. That's where he was at, Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught on the Sabbath. They were astonished by his doctrine and power. A man with an unclean spirit was there. They knew who he was. But Jesus, they didn't fully know. Afraid that Jesus had come to destroy them at that time. But he said to the unclean spirits, hold thy peace and come out of him. The unclean spirits knew who Jesus was. But all the religious Pharisees, Sadducees, Gnostics, and everybody else missed who he was because they was looking for him to come the way they wanted him to come. The people were amazed and said, what a word, with power and authority, he commands unclean spirits, and they come out. And then the Bible says that Jesus' fame went to every village in the region. Jesus went on to Simon's house and healed his mother-in-law. People brought the sick and those that were possessed to be healed. Again, the unclean spirits knew who Jesus was, but he refused to let them speak. So when we go in the power of God, even the unclean spirits cannot stop what God has for us to do and for us to be, to help others in this life, in this Christian walk. The next morning, Jesus went to an isolated place. The people came and begged him not to leave. But Jesus told them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God in other towns too, because that is why I was sent. This all happened, for Jesus called any of his disciples. Look at God. Luke 5:1-11 says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. Two, he noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Three, stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Put out into the deep water and let down your nets, NIV. Put out into the deep water and lower your nets for a haul, the Amplified. Push out into the deep water, your net out for a catch, the Message. Verse 5, Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Verse 6, and this time their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. 7, a shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. But if you say so, words from a professional fisherman, but if you say so, we have all had moments in our lives in God. But if you say so, omniscient, I'm not present, God will do it. We have to have that Jesus moment. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But if you say so, Lord, I'll do it. But if you say so, Lord, I'll go. But if you say so, Lord, I'll wait. But if you say so, I'll go outside of my, bring glory to your name, to enhance the body of Christ. But if you say so. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. Verse 9, for he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught and where the others were with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Peter acknowledged his sin. Now, I didn't say in this scripture, but if I remember correctly, they caught 150 fish, and their boats were starting to sink. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishers for people. Verse 11, and as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. New Living Translation. If you say so, Jesus calmed the situation and told them not to be afraid. As soon as, or immediately, or without fault, they left everything and followed Jesus. Peter, James, and John were professional fishermen. They came in with a haul bigger than they had ever had. And what did they do? They did not sell the fish, nor did they sell their boats. James and John did not discuss leaving the business with their father Zebedee, but they immediately left to be with Jesus. Sometimes we have to make some decisions where we don't consult anybody else when we know it's God, and we have to follow what God says. Not if he says so, because he said so. When he says so. And he'll show us the how when we step out in faith. Job 34:22 says, there's no dark place, no shadow can hide. Oh, can you imagine dropping everything? We can say yes, but would we have dropped everything? Can we imagine just dropping everything and moving with God? Cast all your cares to Jesus. Be open and obedient to the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:10b says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. So now we don't have to be deeper. We don't have to go deeper because we already know God has some deep things for us to do. We have to be obedient. I know the scripture before that says, no eye has seen, and people get excited. No ears heard. No mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Omniscient, all-knowing God. He knows our ending, our beginning, and everything between. We need to remember to seek God's wisdom, God's knowledge, not ours. And when he says so, if he says so, we need to go and do. Proverbs 20:5 says, the purpose of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. What does he do? The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding, whose understanding? God's understanding, draws them out. Discretion, understanding, and wisdom in God is important, ultimately important in our Christian walk. And today, I encourage you to launch out to the deep because God is faithful and true. Launch out into the deep when we don't understand. Launch out into the deep when we question how and why. Launch out into the deep because God said so. Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. You know, it's not hard to find a whole lot to preach about in these days and times in which we're living. And I just want to thank you for allowing the Lord to, amen, make it plain for us what it means to be deep in him. And yes, you're right. I don't know where the Bible tells us we can go deeper and deeper and deeper in Jesus. You just need to get in Jesus, read the word, start living out the word in your everyday life, and you all the deep in Jesus you need to be. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Hold on for a minute. Oh, I'm supposed to be opening up Crystal, Mike. Amen. Where is Crystal at? Here Crystal is. Crystal, why you let me do that?
I'm over here straight praise dancing because I'm like, Jesus, I don't know what to say after that. Pastor gonna open up my microphone, and I got my notes here, but I just, like, my notes are kind of just rambling, and I'm just thinking, Lord, I don't know, like, really what to say. And then when you started talking, I was like, oh, praise God, because I didn't know what to say. I'm like,
Jesus, what are you doing?
I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord, because I'm just like, first of all, you know, Elder Joe is like one of my favorites, so you know that's my cardinal. Like, and he always, when he come, he brings it. But I, you know, and he's talking about, you know, sitting on the water and looking at different bodies of water. I've always been amazed at large bodies of water. I tend to watch, like, never liked history, but I tend to watch, like, the Smithsonian Channel and the History Channel and the Science Channel, and they're always trying to figure out how things evolved instead of giving credit to the creator because it was all created. But nevertheless, you know, I like to watch shows like that, you know, and then there's a show called Drain the Ocean. And they're, you know, take, and I had said before, if all the water on this earth was drained from the seas and the oceans and the lakes, like, what will we really, really, truly find? How deep would it really, really go? And it's like, it's just amazing.
Mean?
And I feel like he hacked in my YouTube page because I watch those boat launches. I watch those large ship launches. So I got to
exactly.
make sure I'm going
I
on my YouTube
that.
Page. I'm like, wait a minute, I'll be watching that stuff too. Yes, because I think it's so amazing. And, you know, when you have, you know, vast oceans and seas like, you know, where the Bermuda Triangle is at, you know, we for centuries, you know, planes and ships and people have disappeared in that area without a trace, and still to this day, people are trying to find out what's going on. But it's like listening to that whole thing. You know, Jesus is simply amazing, and what matters the most is our individual relationships with Jesus. When we worried about what somebody else is doing and what other relationship other people got with God, then we are out of our lane, and we don't have time to be telling somebody what they need to be doing when we have our own race that we have to run. You know, we have to think about, are we truly trusting, you know, leaning and relying on Jesus in every
Amen.
Area of our life, because he truly cares for us. And, you know, when people say things, this line was, he didn't have to say nothing else after he said this line. And I think I'm going to have to get this on the T-shirt, you know, because it's like back.
You know what?
You know.
What
I
got
just,
me
I,
was what?
I just, hold on, Pastor. I
got he
one
got
more
me
point.
Like
last
that, too.
Point. Wait, this is the last point. Hold on, this last point. You know, when people say things that we feel, you know, are above our level of intelligence or sound, you know, super educated or whatever, we say, ooh, that was deep. Ooh, that was deep, because it was almost like I had never went there before, but you went there. You just took me deep. But this line that he said, but you don't have to be deep, just be holy. I said, you know what? If he could have dropped the microphone right then and there and walked off and
right
let
there.
The birds chirp for the next 20 minutes, I would have been fine with that.
The crickets.
That was so
what got me.
I get that on a T-shirt. Lord,
when he
mercy.
Was sitting okay, by the water. When he was sitting by the water. Yeah, I know, because
mm-hmm.
I got twisted up, too. That's why I opened my mic.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's his fault, so we're going to both
Jesus.
Blame him for that.
Yes,
anyway, while
him.
He was sitting by that water and noticing the water and the grandson, how
yes.
deep is the water, that
yes.
same thing happened to me in the front of my house. I started mm-hmm. looking at just my wife brought some ants up. I guess she the grandson in this case. She brought some ants up and said, look at all those ants. And then Jesus started
mm-hmm.
talking. And then I started
mm-hmm.
seeing the ants. I saw the sun, the sky, the moon, the stars, the grass, all the little
Everything.
Bugs, birds, and things.
Everything.
And I said, look at God. I mean,
look
when you
God.
See all of this, it
yes.
leaves you saying, well, just look at God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Everything
and
in nature
so,
points to him. Everything in nature points to him. I have this humongous tree right outside of my balcony door. And because I work from home now, I, for the last, 17, 18 months anyway, I've been able to watch this tree that I never really, really paid attention to go through all four seasons. It's like you started last year when we came home, it was March. So, you know, it was just starting to bud because it was, you know, the end of March going into April. And then I looked up one morning and all the leaves were on the tree. And then, you know, the birds get in there and they make their little nest and the bees make their nest or whatever. And then we get to this time of year where the fall, the leaves start to change. And then I looked out the window and all the leaves had fallen off and it was just this barren tree. And it's like, Lord have mercy. Like, it happens so quick, but only God can do something like that. Because if I had to go out there and water that tree every day, it'd been dead. It'd just be a bunch of branches. It would be dead. You know what I'm saying? But this tree, it doesn't rain every single day. You know what I'm saying? But the roots know it's connected to the power source. The roots of the trees are connected to the earth, and it's connected to the source, which is God. I'm like, everything in nature, the fact that people take credit for anything is ridiculous, because we are just not capable. Like, everything points to God. And so we have to be mindful to make sure that we are going deeper in our relationship with the Lord, because it ain't about, you know, you'll never hit the bottom. At some point in time, if you were to go try to go to the bottom of the Detroit River or whatever the case may be, your oxygen tank will give out before you got to the bottom. But there is a bottom. You know what I'm saying? But then you tap out. Okay, I made it to the bottom. Now what? But if you continue to just dig deeper and deeper and deeper into the Word of God, it is inexhaustible. You would never cap out. You never hit the bottom. It is just, there is so much in God. Like, we couldn't live enough lives to be able to tap into all that God is. And so we just have to focus on our relationship with the Lord, read His Word, and don't worry about trying to go deeper. Just let Him take us where He wants us to go. Is that good? Is that good? Is that sufficient?
Not
okay,
deeper.
You know this too much.
Closer.
I'm tired now. Closer. I'm tired but, now. I can't even do these.
So how deep is your well? I know I shouldn't even be on here. It's Elder Stephen's fault. I shouldn't even be on here.
It is. We should make him
but
do
I,
the announcement. You know,
this is what happens when you sit in church and listen. This is what happens.
And listen.
You get excited. Oh.
So good. So good.
Go ahead and
do
the announcement, Chris.
I'm
going to
do
act like I wasn't even here.
Look, I'm going to tell you like this. We're going to block him. Elder Joe ain't never been blocked from Blog Talk Radio, but he is officially no longer on our preaching roster. I don't know who's going to take his place, but he can't come back on Saturday no more and blow it out the water like he did. Lord have mercy. We are so, so grateful for that word that was brought today. Lord have mercy. I don't even know what else to say. I got these announcements I got to read. And you know what, y'all? I'm going to read them. So good morning, happy Saturday to all of the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tuned in this morning to our Saturday morning worship service. It has been amazing, okay? We want to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much to the pastor of the hour, my cardinal, Elder Joe Stephens, for bringing us the word today. That was his farewell word. That was his swan song or whatever it is. That was his last sermon. He won't be coming back on Blog Talk Radio no more, y'all, because we can't keep getting words like that every second Saturday. It just was amazing. You know, we know that he's already to bless us, ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so we thank him so much for his faithfulness and consistency and obedience to take something so small as his grandson asking him how deep the water is and turning it into this amazing, amazing sermon. So, you know, we pray that all of you who listened today were blessed in some way by what you heard, whether it was, you know, our church school or the songs or the prayers or whatever the case may be. If you were not blessed by anything you heard today, we are most definitely going to put you at the top of our prayer list. Amen. Amen. So thank you, Elder Joe Stephens. Running for Christ Ministries is located at 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Just a couple of reminders that every Monday at 6 p.m., our new amazing class, Get a Grip, is here on Blog Talk Radio. Each week, we will be discussing different topics on mental health and Christianity and learning how to keep it together when things go wrong. So, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers is our amazing teacher. So please join us on Mondays right here at 6 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Spread the word and let someone know about this class. A lot of mental health is just important. However you want to categorize it or however you want to make it be, mental health is important. So there is not one person who cannot benefit from this class. So spread the word. Let somebody know about it. Also, the study questions are available on our church website, rfcm.org. So, you know, we have scriptures and things like that we talk about. So please look that up and use it as a reference point to be able to participate as the class is interactive. Amen. Also, every Tuesday at 4 p.m., Reverend Richard Overall is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his amazing series, Training Day. So, so awesome to hear him. If you're not listening, you are definitely missing out. So please set yourself a reminder each week to tune in at 4 o'clock every Tuesday on Blog Talk Radio. Also, Bible reading class is here on Wednesdays at 6 p.m., going through Job chapters 37 to 42. Pastor emailed the questions. They are available online for you to access on our church website, rfcm.org. And, of course, for those who will be in attendance in Sunday service, they will be on the back table. So, again, rfcm.org if you want to pull them. If not, check your email. If not, they'll be on the back table on tomorrow. Amen. Also, every Saturday, Bondage Breaker Ministries, our ladies' Bible class is happening from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Pastor Janice Tate's house. Amen. 258 Polk Street in River Rouge. Again, Pastor Janice Tate is the teacher. If you want to participate in River Rouge at 11:30 a.m. Amen. Amen. So as you guys all know, obviously we're back in person with our Sunday services. So tomorrow, Sunday, October the 10th, we will be having our Sunday worship service beginning at 10 a.m. Of course, everyone is welcome to join us. But if you do, we are asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask. If you don't have one, no worries. One will be provided for you so that everybody, of course, can remain safe in our service. Our praise team, our amazing praise team, will lead us in song worship. And Pastor O will be bringing us the preached word. Amen. So we are and continue to be so thankful to God for allowing us to return in person to see one another. It really matters when you fellowship and you worship with other like-minded believers. It's a beautiful thing. So if you're not able to attend for whatever reason or you're still not comfortable with being in person, no worries. That's no problem. We fully understand. But please, please, please feel free to participate with us and listen to the service live on Blog Talk Radio beginning at 10 a.m. You're not in person, it's okay, but you will hear what we hear if you tune in at 10 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Amen? Amen. So Wednesday, October 27th, which is the fourth Wednesday of this month, and we have one more fourth Wednesday for the month of November from 10 a.m. to about 1:30 p.m., First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, Pastor O, and anyone else who wants to join in is out in front of Running for Christ Ministries at the bus stop, praying with people and for people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and lunches, just out in the community, you know, doing awesome things. And so many people truly, truly appreciate the opportunity to be able to get prayer. So if you're able to make it out the fourth Wednesday in October, which is October 27th at about 10 a.m. for setup, please, please do, because you are more than welcome. Amen. Also, don't forget that every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own deaconess, Kathy Claiborne, will be here on Blog Talk Radio with her own show, Back to the Family. Amen. Back to the Family, we know, discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today, explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for family in the beginning. So you can find her call-in number on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. Also, there's a link to the class if you want to listen by PC. So, again, set yourself a reminder to tune in on Sundays at 4 p.m. Also, the website for Bring Back the Family is bbtfus.com. Bring Back the Family US.com. Amen. Amen. So, also a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, but most of all, they're free. Again, rfcm.org under Blog Talk Radio tab is where you need to go. You have access to all of our classes and our services, again, all for free. Make sure to share them, download them, go back and listen to them, take notes from them, do whatever you got to do to get it in. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I know we are well past the probably 1,200 or 1,300 mark of classes and services at this point. So there's plenty on there for you to get your Jesus on. Amen. Amen. If you would like to bless us at Running for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, or if you're a member, want to handle your business by paying your tithes or giving any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, again, RFCM is the place to go. You'll find all the info you need there. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for Elder Joseph Stevens, who brought the word today, and remember, y'all, this is his goodbye sermon, so we really want to bless him with his goodbye. He is officially blocked from Blog Talk. If you would like to give a love offering for Elder Joe Stevens, please visit rfcm.org under tithes and offerings, and you can give your love offering there. Of course, just notate who it's for, Elder Joseph Stevens, and it will be passed on to him accordingly. Amen? Amen. So just a couple questions. Been asking these for a while, but you're the only one who can answer this question. So why do we, do I, do you? Number one, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants a relationship and not religion. Number two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. God is not unaware of what goes on with us. He is all-knowing, and nothing, duh, catches him by surprise. But God is a gentleman. He wants to be invited in, you know, to our lives, as he's not going to force himself in. He'll stand at the door and knock and knock and knock and patiently wait for you to open the door. Amen? Number three, prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue, okay? It's not a one-way conversation. You're not talking to yourself, okay? And if you are, you know, we can pray about that, you know, no problem. But you really should be talking to God, okay? It's a dialogue. It's not a monologue. Amen? Number four, God wants your heart. So when you speak to God, speak from your heart. He knows what's in it anyway, okay? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, good things and bad things. Luke chapter 6, 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly, okay, of our lives. So you can give him your heart. He can handle it. You can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. Amen. Number five, lastly, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he has already given us the authority to do for ourselves. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, the heavenly realm. So prayer is our weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and we have been given authority over him. So when the enemy starts attacking you, doing what him and his little minions do, use the power of prayer to fight back. We use the word of God to fight off the enemy, as we know that it's only the word of God that he responds to. So why do we pray? Why do you pray? Why do I pray? Because we can. We have the power and authority to do so. And because we know that prayer is essential to being victorious in every area of our life. Okay? If Jesus needed to pray, we definitely got to pray. Amen? Amen. So Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we know that we must seek God in all that we do. And he promised to be with us at all times. Therefore, it is our ginormous responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ, serving in the purpose that God has created for us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray, you know, and you pray first, over time you will find yourself praying continually. So we ask for your continuous prayers for those who are sick, shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Of course, pray for one another personally, those who you know are going through some things. And of course, pray for yourself, but pray for everyone everywhere, our children, our nation, our world, of course, our leaders, as they're constantly, you know, facing major decisions that affect all of us, but yet still make decisions that only benefit them or a certain party or a certain affiliation. You know, that's just a whole mess. But you know, continue to pray for those who have the rule over us. You know, continue to pray for the many missing and exploited, those who are trafficked and being abused. You know, and of course, make sure to pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. Again, the list of what to pray for is inexhaustible yet overwhelming. So when you don't really know what to pray or what to say, ask God to lead you and show you what it is that you need to pray for. I know personally when I'm praying, I might be praying for one thing and end up on something totally different because you just, you know, you don't want to leave anybody out or leave anything out, but there's just so much to pray for. That's why praying continuously is something that we have to do. Amen. As always, special prayers go out to all of our mothers that run for Christ Ministries, Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Continue to pray for Tyrone Hamilton. Again, Mother Cheryl gets an extra dollop of special prayers. Amen. Continue to keep Elder Joe Stevens and his family in prayer, as well as Pastor John Mack. And anybody else that you can think of, that you know of, that's going through some things, please keep them in your special prayers. Amen. Amen. So we know that we must pray for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is, okay? But we have to remember Acts chapter 1, excuse me, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, which is your immediate household today, Judea, your immediate community today, Samaria, outside of your household and community and outside of your comfort zone, so people in places where you really wouldn't normally associate with, and to the ends of the earth. And we know that's people in places you like them. Nah, never. Well, You know, we can't be like that. We can't keep the word to ourselves. They need the word of God as well. And it's our job as witnesses of Christ to spread the gospel of Jesus so that no souls are left behind. That's really what this whole thing is about. Matthew 25:41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, obviously, okay? Not people. We're not, that wasn't for us. But we know that unfortunately some will end up there in eternal torment. And so we know that this life here on earth is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. We think 80, 90, 100 years is a long time, but to God, it's like it's nothing. Okay, so Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Okay, so please do not stand in line and force your way into a place that was not created for you. John chapter 14, verse 3 says that I, and I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you, and I, that I is Jesus, will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. So we have a place already prepared for us. Please get out of that other line because you don't belong there. Amen. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21:4, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. Praise God. So when you are sad and heartbroken over the loss of a friend or a loved one, or even with the loss that we see here and read about all over the world on a daily basis, we are inundated with bad news all the time. Use these scriptures as well as basically the entire word of God to give you strength and encouragement that only his word can give. Amen. And so we ask that you continue to please keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, peace, love, and healing upon you. Amen. So Matthew chapter says you, yes, point to you, I, y'all, we, okay, we're the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine. Let my light shine. Let our light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we know, we think things are blessings. Ooh, I'm blessed with the car. I'm blessed with this. I'm blessed with that. Well, blessings are not always in the form of money or material things, even though we love those things, you know, but it's just not, blessings don't stop at stuff, okay? We know that a kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free. We know that because Jesus died on the cross when none of us were even here. Amen. He died for us. So we know it doesn't cost us anything except to give up the things that we do that causes us to sin, okay? We know that a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. You can smile at somebody from across the room. If you ask some people how their relationships came together, I saw that person from a crowded room. He looked up at me and he smiled, and I knew he was the one. I knew she was the one. Okay, so a smile is a universal language of kindness. So I don't know what you're doing today, but I'm going to ask you to take some time out to be some sunshine to somebody in your world today. Okay, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. So I'm going to need you to take your smile, your warm smile, and put that on somebody today. Amen. Amen. So y'all know it's the month of October. It's a whole new week. So we want to say happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. Y'all already know we send special love and birthday wishes to our Running for Christ Ministries family. So, huge, 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 ginormous, magnanimous shout-out, all right, to Pastor Terrence Tate. He is celebrating, and today is the 9th, right? He's celebrating today. Today is his birthday. For 24 hours, he's going to be partying and celebrating. Now, y'all know Pastor Terrence Tate come on every first Saturday of the month and brings us a word from the Lord. He has been doing that for years, and so we just want to celebrate him. We want to tell him happy birthday. We love him so very much. Also, tomorrow, our amazing assistant pastor, Janice Tate, she's celebrating her birthday tomorrow. on the 10th. We love her so much. She has been so amazing. She is amazing, full of the word of God, and we're also grateful to know her. So she'll be celebrating on the 10th. Quinaya will be celebrating on the 15th. Deaconess Loretta Welch is going to be celebrating on the 15th as well. All of these people are so amazing. We love them so much. DeAndre will also be celebrating this month on the 30th. And so we say happy, happy birthday and much love to every single one of you. Amen? Amen. So just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. Amen? So that's Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 5. So your devotional for today, you are needed in the body of Christ. Amen? That's by Pastor Rick Warren. So in the Bible, the church is often called the body of Christ. What Jesus did when he was here in his physical body, he wants his followers to continue to do today. We are the body of Christ here on earth. Again, the Bible says, just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete, for we each have different work to do. So we all belong to each other, and each needs all the others. Again, that's Romans 12, verses 4 through 5. Everybody is needed in the body of Christ. It takes every one of us to make it complete. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. When you put together a puzzle and one piece is missing, what are you going to notice? That one missing piece. That's the way it is in the body of Christ. Everybody is needed. So you may say, look, I'm just a toenail in the body of Christ. Have you ever lost a toenail? You notice it. He says, I once dropped a 12-pound weight on a toenail. It was just a tiny part of my body, but I sure noticed it was missing for about 6 months. Never confuse prominence and significance. Something can be prominent but not significant. My nose is prominent, but it's not significant. I could lose my nose and keep on living the rest of my life. But inside me, there are things that no one ever sees, like my liver or my heart or my lungs. You know, they're not prominent, but if I lost them, I'd die. You may not feel prominent in the body of Christ, but you are significant. There are many parts, and each one of them is needed. Why? Because we all have important work to do. So go deep. Because you ain't got to go deep just to be holy. Amen. Amen. Those are your announcements. I quit.
What you mean you quit? You can't quit. Did you hear me you heard me doing announcements last
time. You did a great job. That was amazing. Yeah, right. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, like June say, stay in your lane. I was all the way out of my lane. You know,
job.
I was like, you know them little shows, them little games they have with you driving. As much as I drag race and love to drive, you should see me when I try to play one of them games. As soon as I go 2 feet, I'm in the wall.
Yeah, it's very different. Very different than in real life.
Well, I got to stay in my lane. Let's get this preacher back in here. Hey, man, we done blamed him for everything, all this excitement,
oh, yes.
So we got
all
to get him back
call.
In here. So you can say a word. Thank you, Crystal.
Nice knowing all y'all. You welcome.
Hey, man, bro, preacher, she be firing everybody. She done fired all the preachers now.
she be trying to fire herself, but God says, oh, no, oh, no.
Oh, no. Whether she accepted it or not, he preached to her anyway.
Hey, as I was entering Elizabeth Park, it kind of messed me up, Pastor. A 69 Roadrunner was at the light. Canary yellow.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Black vinyl top.
Like squeak.
With black stripes. And it kind of messed me up as I thought back and was thinking. And I came on into the park, and I had to settle my mind to get it back where I needed to be. But, you know, we talked about being deep in God today. God has not asked us to be deep. I thought about a song from years ago also. I had it in the message and I took it out. How deep is your love? But we know that God's love is so deep. We know what he's done for us through Jesus Christ. Life, his ministry, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We know how deep God's love is. We know how deep God's word is. And we know he has left the Holy Spirit here. Because in the new NIV, it says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God.
So amen.
He has left the Holy Spirit here for us to rely on and to be opened up to lead us into the deep things of God and to what he has for each one of us to be and do. And the deepness ultimately starts in his word, in our prayer, and in our obedience and our faithfulness.
I
pray for all of the Blog Talk listeners. Go ahead, Pap.
My pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis Jr., for folks who don't know, he used to say, you only know God as well as you know his word. Amen. So if we're going to count any kind of thing like deep in him, like people say that, I guess you're only as deep in him as you are deep in his word.
Amen. Messing me up again. 71 Roadrunner just rolled by Orange.
I see them all the time. I get all kinds of that stuff.
If we don't get into his word, we don't know what his word says and what his word challenges us to be and do. And we know his word says we are new creatures in Christ. We know his word says there's no condemnation in coming to him. We know his word says a lot of different things, but we have to read that word, study that word, and then we ultimately have to become doers of that word, not just reader and hearing only. We have to become doers of the word. And as we're going to always be challenged in it, but the more we do, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin. It said might not. But that word and that Holy Spirit brings conviction on us that we have enough sense like David did after he was confronted to say, woe is me. So the word is powerful.
Yes, it is.
Go ahead, Pastor.
And it will. Yes, it is, and it will take us there. And, you know, that is, we should all seek that walk with him that Enoch had. The Bible simply says that Enoch walked with God and God took him. And, you know, even though there's very little written about him, if you just sit and meditate on that for a while, you will see how that walk developed from the beginning of his relationship with the Lord to where the Lord said, hey, you know, you're so close to heaven, we might as well just go home. I heard Dr. Tony Evans put it that way. And I think that's okay because that was true. But, again, how deep? You know, and we get to pick. We get to choose. People used to ask me, if Jesus is not a respecter of persons, then how did James and John and Peter become so close to Jesus? And that's because they pushed in. They pushed in.
Amen.
Some people get up and get in line first, and some people just get there before the line ends. It's up to you.
But he knew what he had for each one of them to do and be also.
Yes.
So it wasn't just about he was being close to him. He knew what he had for them when he left this earth. And that's powerful in and of itself. So, you know, we have to press in. You know, I'm sitting out here just looking at this peaceful-looking water. Boats been going up and down. Water jet skis and stuff, and I used to come sit at the water for hours, and relax, read, study, pray, sometimes just look at the glory of God's creation. I don't get to spend that much time now, but so when I do get to go, I enjoy the little bit I can. But God has so much and revealed so many things in his creation that no man is without you for not knowing that there's a God, but not more than that, not knowing and seeking the ultimate God the creator.
Amen. Give us prayer and we shall be ready to continue this day.
Father God, I pray for myself, Pastor O, Sister O, and all the Running for Christ members and Blog Talk listeners. Father God, I pray that we all will find peace in our relationship with Jesus. And then, Father God, I pray that we will go into the deeper walk with him, a deeper relationship with him. And then, Father God, as we have that deeper relationship with Jesus, he's left the Holy Spirit here to lead and guide each one of us. So we have no excuse. The Holy Spirit is here, and he searches the deep things of God, and he brings comfort to us as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, brother preacher. Thank you, and enjoy the water.
Amen. Bless you.
Amen. We want to thank Dr. Joseph Elder Stevens, amen, who is associated with Gordy Memorial in River Rouge Church, and they are blessed to have somebody who is deep in the Lord. Amen, if you'll allow me to say it that way. So we thank God for him and his willingness to come on here every second Saturday and preach the word of God. And I know what it's like to preach, and I know what the Lord puts you through. Sometimes he'll give you a sermon before you even get through it, the last one. Sometimes he won't give it to you till you till they say, here he is. And then you start preaching. But that's God wanting us to know he's doing this and not us. And with me, that's all right. And I'm sure with Elder Stevens, it's the same way. I just thank him for allowing the Lord to have his way in him. And so when you hear a preacher say, thank you for allowing God to have his way in that preacher, trust me, the Lord put him through something. Amen. It didn't just happen. If you happen to show up at Running for Christ Ministries tomorrow at 10 a.m. for our worship service, guess what? I'm going to be preaching, and I'm going to be preaching by faith, Abel. Amen. By faith, Abel. If you want to find out what by faith Abel means, the rest of that, come out tomorrow, 10 a.m., Running for Christ Ministries. We'll be glad to see you. God bless you. God keep you. I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, Deaconess June Rogers, the preacher of the hour, Deacon Eric Reed, and everybody who participated, especially Elder Joseph Stevens, everybody who participated in this worship experience. The Lord is pleased. The Lord has received the service. Wow, that's new before I even got up. Say what? Of course, Crystal. You know Crystal. Everybody know Crystal. Everybody's like, Crystal, Crystal. Amen. Praise the Lord for Crystal. Amen. God bless you. This would not have happened had it not been for each and every one of you. Amen. And I just thank God that everybody is active and engaged and doing things. And I love Blog Talk Radio, the preacher in the park. Amen. Deaconess Kathy and June Rogers is out there walking around with the Commandos people. And amen. We're all over the place. And I'm in here in my office, but we're getting it done. Isn't God like Pastor... Like Elder Joseph Stevens just said, look at God. See you later.